This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and I want to thank you for supporting The Blaze. Because of your phone calls and emails, The Blaze has been added by many TV providers. But we can't stop now. The big media companies like DirecTV, Comcast, and Time Warner aren't listening. They think CNN, MSNBC, and Al Jazeera America are all you need. But we humbly disagree, and we think you do too. Visit GetTheBlaze.com and let your TV provider know that you want The Blaze in your home. GetTheBlaze.com. Thanks.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Happy Saturday, one and all. You've got me, Chris Salcedo, right here on your Radio Republic. Unlike our current government, your views are heard, listened to, addressed right here on this program. Simplest way to get your point of view across, have a discussion about what we're going to be talking about or anything that's on your mind. Telephone number is 888-900-3393. We call that the old-fashioned way. 888-900-3393. You can also do it on Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX. At Chris Salcedo TX. That's the handle. If you would be so kind as to include the hashtags Salcedo Storm or Salcedo Swarm, so the rest of the Chris Salcedo Show audience can keep in touch with your words of wisdom or maybe your point of information that you want to share with me and the entire audience. Check out the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page as well at the top, as has become the tradition. Because, you know, I can never sell enough T-shirts, especially the word is getting out. I did a Google search for Resident Obama T-shirt, and it's on the Google search. You got an image of the Chris Salcedo T-shirt right there, so that is a testament to a lot of folks flocking to the site, checking out and say, hey, that's for me. And you know what? It's colorful. It's bright. It says Easter. Wear it to your Easter egg hunt and make a statement that you know what's going on in America with your Resident Obama T-shirt. If you're listening right now, probably doing it several ways, one of several ways, blaze.com/radio, SiriusXM channel 778, the Blaze Radio smartphone app or iHeartRadio app. For on-demand listening, basically it's radio at your convenience. There are three ways to do that as well. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. That's the best way to do that. So if you would pass on the word that if folks miss this program, and it's becoming so that a lot of people are making appointment listening and coming here for this program, which I like. But just in case, hey, life comes up. Maybe you got family in from out of the weekend, just or over the weekend for, you know, the Easter holiday. By the way, happy Holy Saturday, everyone out there who is into that kind of thing. You know, the majority of the country is. So I hope it is all going well for you. You have family in from out of town, surrounded by those you love and your friends and such. As we Catholics and Christians celebrate the resurrection of God, of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, okay? No problem. I'm a practicing Catholic. You all know this about me by now, so I have no problem openly talking about it. Some people out there, you know, left-wingers, have a real problem with the open invocation of God. That's why I do it. No, that's not the only reason why I do it. I'm not bothered by them being bothered. Because it's who I am. It's what America is about, religious freedom. That is our first guarantee. All right, we have a lot of housekeeping to take care of right off the bat here. I'm going to start with apologizing to a leftist. I got my leftists mixed up last week. Now, James Clyburn, don't get me wrong. James Clyburn is a committed left-winger, committed to taking away your rights, you know, poops on the Constitution with great regularity, has outlandish, crazy things to say about his political opposition. He's a race baiter, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so, but I misidentified James Clyburn last week. One thing that we have not received proof of that he has done is conspired with the Internal Revenue Service to clamp down on the Tea Party and conservatives. That's one of the few things we don't know about James Clyburn. I'm not saying he hasn't done it. I'm just saying we don't have any proof yet. Not like we have proof that Elijah Cummings did so. I misidentified James Clyburn, so I'll start off by apologizing. I got my leftists mixed up. You know, sometimes, hey, when you're a committed left winger, it's really hard to get them all, keep them all straight. Which leftist said what? But, you know, whether it be Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, or Barack Obama, or James Clyburn, or Elijah Cummings. But, no, the man who deserves our scorn, the man who deserves to be looked at as, well, un-American, is Elijah Cummings. Because he is the one who conspired with the Internal Revenue Service to use its power and authority over us, meaning all of the people of the United States, to target only some of us, conservatives, for the way we believe. Ideological bigotry on full display, not from James Clyburn, not this time anyway, but Elijah Cummings. That's number one. Number two, last week I had the sad duty to report. And by the way, I don't know if I've given you folks an update. I know I posted it on the Facebook page last week. You guys know by now, Liberal Fred, it's what we've been come to calling him on the program, but he is a Gold Star dad. His family paid the ultimate price. He lost his son fighting for our freedoms. So he has committed himself and those around him to making sure that the names are never forgotten. He is the one who has inspired me. Proof positive that not all leftists are anti-military. Not all liberals in America are about poo-pooing the military. Fred is a prime example. He is the one that has inspired me to make sure that we do not forget. I chose a date that goes back all the way to the beginning of the wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, and you go down that date and you list all of our service members who have lost their lives on that particular date. I've done one of those already. I'm going to do another day here very soon. But he posts them on a website, and he's in actually radio as well. He does music format, but they don't forget there either. So he and I have developed this collaboration, and he has done yeoman's work in making sure that I am updated on when we lose somebody in the line of duty, fighting for you and me, fighting to keep that thing, the Constitution, in force while Democrats are back here at home doing everything they can to make sure it's undermined. This week we lost somebody. Department of Defense announcing the death of a soldier who was supporting Operation Enduring Freedom. Specialist Kerry M. G. Daniluk, I believe it's how you pronounce the name, or Daniluk. He was 27. He's from my home state in Cuero, Texas. He died on tax day, April 15th, at a medical facility in Germany. He sustained the injuries on the 12th of April. So he passed on. He was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 87th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, Fort Drum. So that is my sad duty to report. And the injuries continue to mount. The deaths continue to mount. We cannot forget. Despite the treachery of the current occupier of the Oval Office, a man not worthy to lead them, we must not forget their sacrifice, because regardless of who sits in the Oval Office, they do their duty. It's a volunteer service, folks. They do their duty. I'm quite certain they didn't sign up to defend the likes of Harry Reid. Harry Reid is not worthy of the sacrifice of our fighting men and women, and I'm going to illustrate that to you here in a moment. And we're going to have 2 minutes here before a break. Okay, Harry Reid earlier in the week said this about the standoff at that ranch out in Nevada, the state he's supposed to represent, Mike.
Well, it's not over. We can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it, so it's not over.
Did you catch the phraseology there about what Reid said? I'll play it again, and I'll stop at what I want you to think, or what I want you to focus on, I should say.
Well, it's not over. We can't have an American people.
We can't have an American people, says Harry Reid, the leader of the Democrats in the United States Senate, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, saying we cannot have an American people. Who's we, Harry? You mean you folks in government? You mean your idea is that you are a government with a people and we aren't a people with a government? It's a very important distinction that I think that our liberal friends have forgotten, that they serve us, not the other way around. Now, Cliven Bundy, by the letter of the law, is in violation. He's not paid grazing fees for some time now. He made up his mind, he tells us, that he was not going to be complicit in helping the federal government drive him out of business, which it has been doing. So other ranchers complain about the heavy hand of government, but they're working with the government. Cliven Bundy says, no, It is not. I remember this lesson when I was a kid, and I'm going to play more from Harry Reid in a minute. But I remember being in Mrs. Cronin's fifth grade class out in a suburb of San Diego and asking the question, you know, why doesn't the government get into business? Why doesn't the government do that? Because, and she told me that this type of teacher, by the way, was commonplace back when I was in public school. It's rare. That type of teacher is rare today. She said, it's not right that the government compete with the businesses that fund it. It's unfair. So we have a private sector, we have a government sector. Government's there for service only, not to make a profit, not to line its pockets, for service only. The private sector is where you go to make money. And it's unfair for tax-paying businesses and taxpayers of the United States to fund their own competition if it's their own government. Liberals have done a very good job of clouding that, of masking over the blatant unfairness. So here's Harry Reid, who wants Clive and Bundy's ranch land to culminate a deal that he made with the Chi-Coms, with the communist Chinese, to put a solar plant there. You know, the desert tortoises will be fried. You know, that's not important, because Harry Reid gets to line his pockets, courtesy of the Chi-Coms. That's why he wants the land. Hell, an adjacent parcel already, he's already broken ground on one section of a solar plant. He wants the rest. So he's going to utilize the heavy hand of government to get rid of the ranchers, to drive them out of business so he can have the land. And it's all legal? Really? And anybody with eyes to see can see that it is the government working against the interest of we the people. So that's why a lot of folks, a lot of militiamen have taken a stand. They recognize what Harry Reid is doing. Harry Reid is hiding behind, well, the law, and doing so quite effectively. Coming up next, I will play a soundbite from Harry Reid saying, if you oppose the government that is supposed to be there to service you, you're a terrorist. It's all on the way right here on the Salcedo Show. Don't go anywhere. Back in a second.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, the Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
And welcome back. One of the more popular posts on the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page right now. By the way, easy to find. Just go to Facebook, type in The Chris Salcedo Show, and make sure you like the page. Scroll down. Let's see. Not quite busting out of the confines of those who have liked the page already, but getting dang close. Headline. Indicted businessman names Harry Reid as alleged recipient of massive bribe. You mean Harry Reid's corrupt? Who knew? Who knew that Harry Reid, whorehouse Harry Reid, was corrupt? I got a clue when he was selling down one of his own constituents down the river so he could do a deal with a foreign government, the Chi-Coms. Remember last week, I broke news on this program, basically saying that a little Democrat told me, a friend of mine that is knowledgeable of the inner workings of the Democrat Party, the extreme left wing of the Democrat Party. And Harry Reid took a bipartisan delegation over to China a couple of years back. Now we know what he was doing over there. This is where the genesis of this deal happened. He was also, I'm told, he was looking at property for he and Rory and all of his family over in China. Because when he sells the American people up the river like he's doing to Clive and Bundy, to the Chi-Coms, he's going to need a place to lay low. He's going to need a place to be safe from the wrath of the American people, because he's an anti-American douchebag. Hey, look. Hey, Harry, we already know the standard you've laid down, man. I don't have to prove a damn thing. All I got to get out there and do is say it. And it is so. Just like you getting up on the floor of the Senate and saying that Mitt Romney didn't pay taxes in 10 years. Just like you getting up there and saying that everybody with a horror story from Obamacare are liars. There's no proof. You never gave any proof. And when you were proven wrong, you didn't have the integrity to retract your ridiculous and ludicrous statements. So, you know what? I think you have to prove I'm wrong, Harry. prove I'm wrong that you went over to the communist Chinese, arrange this this land deal so they could put up a solar plant and they can make money and line your pockets. Prove me wrong. That's your standard. Remember, you were on the floor of the U.S. Senate and said it was up to Mitt Romney to prove your allegations false. That's a, that's Harry Reid's new standard in America. Guilty until proven innocent. I can play the game too, Harry. I can play it too. So you need to prove to the American people that you're not a corrupt SOB. Let's hear it. Oh, well, you know what? When he makes statements like this, though, it's going to be hard to prove that. Here's Harry Reid speaking, guess where, in California. Of course, California.
There were hundreds, hundreds of people from around the country that came there. They had sniper rifles on them.
Okay, that first off, out-and-out lie. Out-and-out lie. The only sniper positions being taken were by the Bureau of Land Management, Harry Reid. Listen to the other lies that Mr. Reid tells.
Freeway, they had assault weapons, they had automatic weapons.
Automatic weapons? You mean automatic weapons that are illegal in the United States for citizens to own? Those type of automatic weapons? So I'm sure that all the authorities out there, the BLM, made arrests, although we've not heard about those arrests. Because if these militiamen were carrying automatic weapons, they'd be open to arrest. They're violating the law. But we didn't hear about that, did we, Harry? Another lie from the Senate Majority Leader, the man who exemplifies Democrats in the United States of America today. Their leader, well, co-leader, it's he and Pelosi and Obama.
And as the, one of the former sheriffs from Arizona said, and we had children and women lined up because what, if anybody got hurt, we want to make sure they got hurt first.
So here's Harry Reid saying the militiamen took their children and women and lined them up in front of them. So when the Bureau of Land Management exercised its heavy handed enforcement, that the kids and the women would get hurt first. This is what Harry Reid is trying to say to all you folks out there who showed up at Clive and Bundy's ranch. And for all of you folks who sympathize with Clive and Bundy being the target of this out of control federal government. This is what he says of you. You're willing to put women and children in harm's way like Al-Qaeda does. And Harry Reid goes on to make that connection.
Because we want the federal government hurting women and children. This is the deal, and it's not a good one. So these people who hold themselves out to be patriots or not, they're nothing more than domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists. If you disagree with the government that's supposed to work for you, when it shows heavy-handedness, when it brings out armor and sniper positions over a grazing issue on federal land, then if you are to react as the people and saying this is not how we want our government to conduct itself, because we, the people, are in charge, at least that's the whole idea, isn't it, Harry? Then all of a sudden you are the terrorist, according to Harry Reid and his Democrats. What about the real terrorists? Haven't these morons, these Democrats, these extremist libs been trying to convince us that the war on Al-Qaeda is over as it is resurgent all around the globe, as our forces pull back and Al-Qaeda fills power vacuums all over the globe? Isn't it Harry Reid trying to convince us that real terrorists don't exist while trying to assign the terrorist label to American citizens? This man is well, to say un-American, he levels that at us all the time. We're not, you know, we're un-American. He does that all the time. Well, you know what? I'm not in elected office. I'll get down on the dirt with Harry Reid. He's not a statesman. Nobody's ever accused Harry Reid of being a statesman or a good leader or a good politician, for that matter, having the best interest of the American people at heart. Might I direct your attention, and perhaps Senator Reid's attention for those of his people that are listening right now. You have sicked our government on us. The NSA is watching us. I think Ron Fournier, a liberal on Meet the Press, had something to say about that.
We were caught flat-footed, completely flat-footed, and there's a couple reasons. One, this is the second successive president that has viewed Russia the way they want Russia to be, not the way Russia is, specifically right. Putin. We could talk about President Bush if you want. Secondly, where was the CIA? Where was the NSA? Where was our intelligence community? Why didn't we know about this sooner?
They had conflicting analysis.
Right. I'm wondering if our intelligence community should be spying more on Russia and less on American people.
I think so, too. Coming up, we're talking about the worst jobs in America and the best on the Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Chris Salcedo Show will be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Salcedo Swarm is buzzing. Check all of you out this morning. I mean, just from the last segment, 12, 15 tweets already, something like that. Oh, by the way, Carla, great shirt. For those of you who know me, I'm a big superhero movie type buff, big science fiction buff. Great shirt from Carla. That's all. She didn't actually post anything. She retweeted something, but I just noticed her pick. Nice. Somebody who did say something was Nanny. Harry Reid has not only lost his mind, he's lost his soul to power and money. That's predicated, Nanny, on the belief that the man ever had a soul to begin with. You know, he was born among the whores out in Searchlight, Nevada. There's a parody done by my pal Matt Fox over the Daily Surge. I will share with you once it is posted. I have some connections over there, so I get an advanced look at Whorehouse Harry Reid. This is a parody that you're going to love. Going to play it for you here once it's published over there at the Daily Surge. By the way, I've got an article up in the Surge as well. That's Jason Matera's website. I'm going to get into that article along with Mary Ramirez's article, because oddly enough, we're on the same page again, talking about slightly different subject matter, but they actually commingle. Next break. After the next break, we'll get into that. Meantime, did you catch this reporting from the Fox News channel that the IRS, well, the corrupt IRS, wants even more of your cash?
And finally, Uncle Sam may start sending a bill for your workplace perks, taking a bite out of free lunch at the office. The IRS is considering forcing employees to pay taxes on fringe benefits they get on the job. And that could really add up when you consider the extravagant freebies offered by many tech companies. Facebook, for example, has several free eateries on its campus, including a burrito bar, a barbecue shack, and a candy store. The barber also gives haircuts free of charge there. Getting a new do is also free at Google, where employees also get free gourmet meals, gym memberships, and even yoga classes, not to mention massage chairs for relaxation time. And no need to stress over your commute. Googlers ride for free on the Google bus.
And now the IRS wants to tax all of it. Isn't that nice? All those perks, you know, the liberals tell us, oh, the employers are so cold, they're so heartless. And then when the employers step up to the plate, and deliver some really nice perks, then the liberals and the government say, oh, now it's time to tax all that stuff. I mean, can you imagine? You get a free bus ride to work, and they're going to charge you for it. They're going to make you calculate the mileage and the cost of gas as a perk? Welcome to Obama's America. Welcome to Pelosi and Reid's IRS. So you better get a good job. You know, maybe not one with so many perks anymore because they want to tax it, but a good job and make some more money so you can fund the government, because that's how liberals think. You're there to work for them, right? See, that's not exactly how I learned it in school. Speaking of those jobs, what's good, what's bad, there's been a report out, and I want to go over, who put this out? CareerCast put out some of the best and worst jobs, and I want to go over it with, a guy that's recognized internationally. He's acclaimed expert in the science of human excellence, known as the people mechanic. Gary De Rodriguez has over 30 years of career development leadership strategies. He's CEO of People Rich USA, a director of the Business Education Institute, and a research fellow at the Institute of Mind and Behavioral Sciences. His strategies for developing leadership, they've been utilized by organizations like Shell Oil, Kuwait Petroleum, Elon Pharmaceuticals, McGraw-Hill Publishing, and state governments, and many, many more. You get the idea. He's qualified. Gary, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
How are you?
Doing well, sir. Thank you very much for being here. So let's talk about the worst careers. I'm going down the list. Again, CareerCast putting this together. At the top, number one, lumberjack.
Don't you love that?
It's
so funny because, you know, the lumberjack is just like the projection of a 4% increase in job growth by 2022. So that's not the place to be as far as career.
Yeah, the lumberjack makes 24 grand, mid-level pay rather, 24 grand, $24,340. And they're saying there's going to be, you know, like you said, only 4% growth. So what, we're going to stop building things with wood? Is that the implication here? I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, newspapers and books, because everything is moving now to digital.
A lot of the
publications that used to be all on paper, which of course the lumber industry is very involved in, is now going to be obsolete. It's slowly moving there because everything's going to digital, everything's going to the cloud, so it's going to be a lot less paper.
Now, you mentioned right there in your description of lumberjack, newspapers, and the number two on the list is the newspaper reporter, as, again, one of the worst career choices in 2014 to make. They make $37,090, but they're becoming an endangered species, it seems.
They are, and again, you can look towards the move towards more of a digital format. So people are going more and more online. They're going more to their, you know, their iPads, and so the newspaper, less and less people are actually picking up papers, having them delivered. So the newspapers are cutting back, and this is not a good job projection. It's only 13% growth to up to 2022 as well.
Okay. Now, number three on the list really has me worried. And I think it's a consequence of what the political environment here is in the United States. Enlisted military personnel is number three on the list. Worst jobs in 2014. I would have to think it's a consequence of the extremist liberals who are gutting the military as you and I speak.
Well, it is pretty shocking from the perspective that, you know, we have a volunteer military. And I think this is something that all of America really gets to look at. We have a volunteer military, and when our men and women come back from war, they are generally not taken care of well. Most of them have PTSD. Many of them are compromised either physically or emotionally, and the ability to take care of our veterans is so woefully underfunded and ineffectual. That who would join as a volunteer an organization where you're risking your life, and then if you become very mentally or physically compromised, you're cast to the side and not really taken care of. I mean, what type of individual would want to join that? So the truth for me is our whole sort of security, our national security, is based upon being able to have a valiant military that are taken care of, that are cared for, and that are healed on return from battle. And if we cannot do that, we're going to be compromised. Down the road, it is unsustainable.
And not only that, but when you come back and you're done with your service, this government under Barack Obama has labeled you a security risk. The Department of Homeland Security, when Janet Napolitano was running the joint, said that you need to be looked at with extra scrutiny because, you know, you could be a problem for the government. Number four on the list was taxi driver. I don't get this at all. Aren't we going to always, in this big push to be more green and to not, especially in the big cities, why would taxi cabs become the worst job?
Well, I think primarily because it's high stress and oftentimes extraordinarily dangerous. I don't know if people actually view taxi cab drivers as a high risk and a high stress job, but it actually is. I was living down in Australia for quite some time, and I did listen to your fringe benefit tax dialogue, and that's well and truly entrenched in the Australian government. You'd be stunned at what their percentage of fringe benefits tax is. But I will say that taxi drivers were constantly being assaulted, and I think that they're constantly being assaulted here in the United States as well, just probably not making the news.
Okay, again, 2014 worst jobs, broadcaster.
Number five, Chris.
Number five is a broadcaster. Holy Hannah. Well, look, and they say $55,380, that's the mid-level pay. I want to know where they got that number from, number one. Number two, but what is the deal with broadcasting? Is it just because of the consolidation of the media companies?
That, and I think that there's a heap of competition. Of course, you have no competition, my friend.
No.
But it's only a growth rate projection of 13%, you know, up to 2022, because this is what this careercast.com has projected it to up to 2022. But it has a pretty low growth rate, and there's not a whole lot of opportunities, and the competition is pretty well, pretty high. And I don't know if the listening audience realizes it, but it takes a heap of work to do what you do, and it is stressful.
Sure. It is. But I think I was just making a comment on Twitter earlier. This is the best radio lineup on the weekend. And I think we're doing things a little bit differently than the industry is used to. So it's getting a lot of eyes and a lot of ears. My guest right now is the CEO of People Rich USA, Gary De Rodriguez. I want to get in quickly because you only got a couple of minutes left. Get into the best jobs, the top five.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go down the first three because they seem to be all academic related: mathematician, university professor, tenured, and statistician. Why those are in the top three?
Well, the job growth rate, I think, is much higher.
Yeah.
The statistician up to 27%, the mathematician 23%, university professor not so much, 19%, because, to reach tenure in a university or academic environment is a bit of a feather in your cap. Not all professors reach tenure. But when you reach that 10-year qualification, your job is pretty much set. You have the ability to influence and impact and be a powerful force for good for lots of people's lives.
I have a speculation on a mathematician.
Go for it.
We're gonna need people to calculate the massive public debt that we are requiring, up toward $18 trillion right now. So we're going to need mathematicians to figure out what all of our share is as government continues to spend like drunken sailors. Am I close?
Well, you're close, but in addition to that, the mathematicians, they cover a wide, diverse career choice. So there's lots of different industries that are actually requiring mathematicians and that particular skill base. And
okay.
Same with statisticians, the growth rate's 27%. And again, it really covers a wide spectrum.
All right. Rounding up the top five of the best jobs in 2014, an actuary and an audiologist. Let's focus on audiologists in the time we have left, Gary. Why is I can speculate because of the advent of the iPod and all of that kind of stuff. Ear docs are going to be much needed.
Well, that and, the boomers are aging now. And so, as the boomers get up in age, there's going to be a heap more requirement for an audiologist because people will start to, lose their hearing. Also, in addition to that, all the devices are becoming far less visible. So people are becoming more attracted to being able to use the hearing devices. So the audiologist is really going to be a projected, the highest one at 34% job growth rate.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, if you haven't made a decision, I'm talking to some of the young folks out there, maybe an audiologist is something you ought to look into. Gary De Rodriguez. He is the CEO of People Rich USA. Sir, thanks for carving out time for us today on the Salcedo Show.
It's my pleasure, Chris. It's always great to talk to you.
All righty. Coming back, we'll have my latest article over the Daily Surge. And Mary Ramirez, she has also penned something that might garner your attention or might be worth a read. We'll talk about those and set up the next hour as well right here on the Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Chris Salcedo Show will be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show. Listen, dial, speak. 888-900-3393.
dispelling that media myth that all Latinos are a bunch of left-wing nutcases. It's me, Chris Salcedo, your liberty-loving Latino. Hat tip to Big Daddy-O over there on Twitter. First off, great pick for your profile pick there. Also, had this to say about the idea of you getting taxed, you know, for your perks at work. But what's next? Taxing me because the employer provides toilet paper and water to flush? We laugh. Don't laugh, because as soon as you start saying stuff like that, some liberal, probably Mayor de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio out of New York, might come up with that special little idea to start taxing you by the square. Did you guys catch the latest news about de Blasio? The man who wants to raise taxes on everybody and his mother only pays, get this, an effective tax rate of 8.3%. He only gave 3% to charity of his over $200,000 salary slash income on the year. What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. That's, you know, he's a typical left winger. They all do this, folks. They all do it. Hey, look, I wanted to quickly bring attention to a couple of articles. Number one, mine on the Daily Surge. It's called Team Obama Trying to Hide the Collapse of the House of Cards. I've linked to it on the Facebook page as well. Basically, you know, this is in reference to partly the Obama administration now changing the way the census calculates the uninsured in America, just in time to not look at Obamacare's effects on we the people. So have a look at that. Also, you know what? I don't want to give Mary Ramirez's piece short shrift, so I'm going to tease it for the next hour. Plus, we're going to be talking about the media. Cheryl Atkinson speaking once again, former CBS reporter. She really, really gave us a window into what goes on at the nation's newsrooms. Why you can't trust ABC, NBC, CBS anymore to give you credible news. They're lying to you. Lying by omission. We'll break it all down coming up in the second hour of the Chris Salcedo Show. Your phone calls too. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. It's the Salcedo Show right here on the best weekend radio imaginable, The Blaze.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vices? I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Obama lied and your policy died. Yes, we're going to be talking about Obamacare here throughout the program. We got 2 hours left on the Salcedo Show. Lucky you, lucky us, because we're happy to have you on board. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. That's how you get in touch with me. If you're listening to the program, one of three ways you're probably doing it, four ways you're probably doing it, blaze.com/radio, SiriusXM channel 778, the Blaze Radio smartphone app or iHeartRadio, on-demand listening. Basically, it's the Salcedo Show on your schedule. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Make sure you listen on demand. Make sure you share so other folks can listen on demand. That's how we grow this program. That's what makes my bosses smile, and then they smile back at me, and that's a good thing. Make sure you visit the Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page, if you will. At the tippy top, your opportunity to stand out among the conservatives with your resident Obama t-shirt. I guarantee you, nobody else but this show wearing one of those, okay? You will stand out. You will identify yourself as part of the Salcedo Storm, the Salcedo Swarm, which is, by the way, the hashtags I want you to use after you follow me on Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX, at Chris Salcedo TX. As in Texas, one of the freest states in our grand union. It is a monumental task to take to put on this show every single week. I mean, you know about Chad Kent. By the way, the Constitution Revolution is coming up. He is, of course, the author of Uncomplicating the Constitution, so you want to stick around for that. Also, Mary Ramirez, she writes under the Chris Salcedo Show banner, and she has a piece up in the contributor section called Ladies, We're Not Suppressed. Let me read a stanza or two. She's going to get the feminist all upset with her. You know, here's a lady just like me, you know, your liberty loving Latino cutting against the grain, trying to beat back this false media narrative that all Latinos are a bunch of left-wing nutcases. It's not true. It's not true at all, but they spent a lot of money and put a lot of effort in the corrupt media to make you believe that it's so. And we're going to touch on the media here in a minute. But, that, you know, here's Mary Ramirez basically putting the kibosh on this whole idea that women are oppressed in this country, because that's what Team Obama is doing, right? They have nothing to run on. Obamacare is really an albatross around their necks. So all they're doing is the politics of division. You know, this this class warfare with a waging the minimum wage, or raising the minimum wage. You've got this fictional war on women and this pay disparity gap, which, by the way, the White House itself partakes in. It's the politics of division. It's how they hold on to power. And Mary Ramirez, along with me, doing our best to, you know, put a stake through that vampire's heart, if you will. Here are a couple of words from the article. Women around the world are suppressed, held back, mistreated every day. Take, for example, the women of Syria, who have been targeted by snipers and used as human shields, often with their children. See, this is how terrorists operate, Harry Reid, not we the people. That's not what was going on in Nevada. See, Mary and I are just unconsciously, we don't coordinate this stuff. We just happen to be on the same wavelength. I don't know how we do it. Anyway, during that raging civil war, still others are hauled off to prison and tortured. They are easy targets in a culture of female suppression. Thousands of miles away in China, there's young Feng Jianmei, I believe is how you pronounce her name, who became yet another victim of the family planning officials who, when she was unable to pay an impossibly high fine, arrested her, forcibly aborted her 7-month-old pregnancy. It's routine in China, as are birth permit cards, something women are forced to carry and produce to officials at any time. Oh, and then there's Bibi Aisha, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, child bride who fled her Taliban husband and was caught, horrifically maimed, and left to die. So Mary goes down this whole list of what real oppression against women looks like. Democrats who partake in this ought to be ashamed of themselves. It also shows how ignorant they are of what real oppression is. So when you start hearing Democrats, extremist liberals saying, oh, the GOP and conservatives don't like women, remember this article. Remember Mary Ramirez and her words, sage words, it turns out. Ladies, we're not suppressed. Not in America. Get real. All right. Now, if there were, oh, by the way, I did want to get to Michael Burke, who's one of the Twitter followers, the Salcedo Storm, Salcedo Swarm, at Chris Salcedo TX. He's imploring me to call evil by evil's true name. He wants me not to call them liberals anymore, but call them progressives. No, I will swap out the terms with great regularity, Michael, but understand the term progressives is something that liberals have been trying to get in vogue, because those who are not politically astute will go, oh, who are these progressives? It sounds so neat. It sounds so cool. Liberal has been successfully stigmatized, as is only proper. But now that liberal has been sufficiently stigmatized, the Dems are trying to switch to another label. Oh, no, we're progressives. They're the same thing. So maybe it's just me. Michael, I have no problem with you using progressives. I mean, we all know what you mean. A lot of folks out there, what does Limbaugh call them, the low information voters around the country, they don't quite get that. So you have to at least use them both in the same sentence. You know, those liberal, extremist, progressives, something like that, so that folks understand who we're talking about. You know, the Barack Obamas, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's of the world. All right. All right, guys, let's get into this. I'm going to gather all the, as I mentioned, this is it's a monumental task to put on the Salcedo Show every weekend. So we've got, you know, all those guys who are left in broadcasting basically here in the studio. Stop it, kidding. Reggie, Steve, John, Brian, gather around, boys, gather around. We're going to have a talk about the status of media in this country. And Cheryl Atkinson, for those of you who don't remember who she is or recognize that name, longtime reporter with CBS News. I used to work for CBS News as well. I was an anchor and a reporter there. And Cheryl left because she got it into her head that regardless of the political party who occupies the Oval Office, she was supposed to do her job. Yeah. See, no, she didn't get the memo that only when a Republican is in office, you're supposed to be aggressive as a reporter. When Democrats are in, you're supposed to take, you know, 4 years or 8 years off. That's the understanding at NBC, ABC, and CBS, CNN to a large degree. MSNBC. I think they put that in their employee manual. Okay. So, guys, I want you to listen to this first soundbite from Cheryl Atkinson. She was on over the Fox News Channel with Howie Kurtz. And she began to lift the veil for all of us as to what goes on behind the scenes. This is something I already knew because I lived it too. But to hear somebody of her stature, somebody who is widely regarded as a credible journalist, somebody who was respected when she went after the Bush administration, and she went after them very, very hard, didn't hear a peep out of CBS or these ignorant producers that handle her or handled her over at CBS. But when she started doing the same thing to Team Obama, that's when, well, it all hit the fan. So here's Cheryl.
But the criticism, as you know, is that Fox News and conservative media have been flogging this for a year and a half, trying to turn this tragic attack, for which the country was clearly unprepared at the Libyan consulate, into some kind of scandal.
Well, I think that's a strategy in of itself. If you disagree with some damaging facts of things that have happened on your watch and you can controversialize it or call it political, then perhaps some people won't listen to it. I mean, if you liken it to Watergate, Watergate was at its heart a political scandal in every sense of the word, but it didn't mean it wasn't a legitimate issue to look at. And I don't think anybody today would argue that it wasn't. But there's sort of this tendency now to use a strategy that says, it's political, therefore don't listen to it. And I think there are many valid questions still to be asked.
That's true. And guys, and I can testify to this. If it's political, somehow it's not news. Only when a Democrat is in office. Only when a Democrat sits in high office. So, Reggie, what do you think, man? She pretty much nails it, right? This is pretty much what we've been seeing coming out of our TV screens, or in CBS's case, not coming out of our TV screens for the better part of a couple of decades.
No, she's absolutely correct. And I mean, she brings up a good point. But the problem is, I mean, the problem I have when listening to what she was saying, how she went hard after the Bush administration. But when she goes after the Obama administration, there are people who are kind of like, oh, you can't do that. You can't say this. And I think that's wrong. I mean, she's a respectable journalist and she should be allowed to actually, you know, go after both sides fairly. I mean, it's balanced. It's fact checking. And I think that's wrong.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work, but that's not the real world application. And Steve, as I mentioned, I was at CBS, and it was a local CBS. It was in Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, the fifth largest television market in the nation. So it wasn't small time, but I was an anchor and a reporter, and I wanted to start talking about some of these big issues, you know, the debt, the deficit, Obamacare, for crying out loud. And I had one producer one time tell me, you know, that kind of stuff makes my head hurt. So we didn't cover it. And that's the mentality of some of these kids who populate not only the local market newsrooms around the country, but the national level, too.
Yeah. And, you know, perception is reality. They can turn a story into whatever they want. And it's strange, too. I had a boss on a left show that I worked on in the past that was trying to get sponsorship money from certain people. And when those people would come up in the news, he would censor it. Don't do that story. Put a better spin on it. So even on a small level to the national level, you know, you can make something out of nothing.
All right. We're going to hear from John and Brian coming up here. And I've got more from Cheryl Atkinson to play. She is really lifting the veil on what goes on and why you can't trust CBS, why you can't trust NBC, why you can't trust ABC to give you the straight news anymore, because they're lying through omission. They're not reporting on things that you need to know about. And that's a big problem. You can also weigh in, too, with me and the guys. 888-900-3393. 888-900-3393. Are your viewing habits changing because you've been hearing some of this stuff? Let us know right here on the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze.
Broadcasting with Latin flair. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze Radio Network. You're taking in a little Latin flair with Chris Salcedo on the Blaze Radio Network.
Why did CBS lose interest in your reporting on Benghazi, in your reporting on Obamacare and other subjects, to the point where you were just having difficulty getting on the air?
I think that's part of a broader trend that's happening, not just at CBS, but there seems to be, the last couple of years, much less interest in what I call original and investigative in-depth reporting that hasn't been seen elsewhere. There seems to be a visceral reaction to doing stories that could ruffle feathers, whether it's certain people in the political spectrum or even corporate interests. I think there's come to be a narrowing universe of stories that are desired by the broadcasts, and it leaves us with sometimes, I think, newscasts that don't dig very deep.
Cheryl Atkinson, formerly of CBS News, articulating what's going on behind the scenes. They just don't want to ruffle the political feathers. What's going on here, guys, is that the Obama administration, every single time Cheryl would come out with reporting on Benghazi or Obamacare or what have you, their quote-unquote truth squad would come in and make life miserable for the folks on the ground. That's what leftists do. It's what propagandist leftists do. And we all saw the AP scandal, the monitoring of the Associated Press phone calls to find out where some of these reporters were getting their information from, branding James Rosen over at Fox News a co-conspirator and a crime, for God's sakes, because he was just doing his job and reporting. And I think it's mission accomplished, John, because it's putting a chilling effect on the First Amendment and the freedom of the press. Yes?
They have to, you know, they have to make their sponsors happy. And if you anger the White House, they're not going to do interviews with you.
I know. It's retaliatory.
No, but I'm saying they have to protect, you know, their sponsors. They have to get that interview.
But wait a minute. But you know what? This is the way it's worked across administrations. Why is it Obama so special? Are they so willing to cave under Team Obama's pressure, when I'm sure that past administrations have said, hey, you know, don't report on this, or it's, you know, that was unfair or what have you. But what I'm told is it's more pressure than has ever been brought by the chief executive of the country that is supposed to defend something we call the First Amendment. What do you think, Brian?
This bothers me greatly, Chris. It doesn't surprise me, but it does bother me. I speak with friends, relatives that are, you know, maybe average President Obama administration supporters, and I'll tell them something that The Blaze covered, or maybe other news networks that aren't hardcore leftist networks, and they say, oh, I've never heard of that. I never heard this before. This is true? Really? And they're so shocked. They literally don't know. It's not even that they disagree or they don't want to hear it. They don't know. And that's because they're not following The Blaze, which covers most of this stuff. So clearly there's manipulation going on with the mainstream media, the leftist media, and with the Obama administration in particular. The problem is there's a hardcore agenda going on here, and they're trying so hard to protect that. And the only way they can do so is to infringe on the First Amendment rights of not only the American people, but the press.
Yeah, but the press. And consider this, too. If you are a devotee, and I'm not sure who that is anymore, of NBC News, or you watch ABC or CBS, there's so much you don't know. You're not getting the full story, because a lie by omission is still a lie. They're lying to you by not reporting on this stuff. And Cheryl Atkinson is a veteran reporter. It wasn't like she wasn't well-grounded in journalism when she was finding this stuff out. They just wouldn't let her air it. Listen to some of these other sound bites here. I want to get to them quickly.
I think any journalist who's been covering Washington for a few years would agree, and they've agreed in letters written to the White House and in a recognition given to the White House over its unprecedented secrecy and lack of FOIA responses and so on, that
FOIA is short for Freedom of Information Request, folks. That's what the press is allowed to do, that freedom of information from the government. What have they been up to? They have the right to know under the FOIA requests.
There is pressure coming to bear on journalists for just doing their job in ways that have never come to bear before.
See, listen to what she just said. It's never happened like this before. Team Obama has taken it to another level, to where it's intimidation. And a lot of these producers, who are sympathetic to Obama anyway, because we all have seen the polling, about 80% of the nation's newsrooms are populated with folks who either sympathize or self-identify as Democrats or liberals. But that said, that doesn't mean you can't be a fair reporter. But on top of already being sympathetic to Team Obama, now they're getting shaken down. Now they're getting possibly threatened. We know that Cheryl Atkinson was yelled at by a member of the White House staff for her reporting on Benghazi. It goes a step beyond propriety. It goes a step, it's intimidation, and it's a chilling effect. Here's more from Cheryl.
But it's particularly aggressive under the Obama administration, and I think it's a campaign that's very well organized, that's designed to have sort of a chilling effect, and to some degree has been somewhat successful in getting broadcast producers who don't really want to deal with the headache of it. Why put on these controversial stories that we're going to have to fight people on when we can fill the broadcast with other perfectly decent stories that don't ruffle the same feathers?
Yeah. So we're basically tailoring the news so we don't make Obama mad. That's what we're doing. And that's why you can't trust CBS or ABC or NBC, because they're not, that's not news. That's propaganda. That's propaganda. And that's what they're partaking in. Cheryl Atkinson lifting the veil on what is now going on in the nation's newsrooms since Team Obama took over in 08-09.
So you're saying that you personally got a lot of pushback from Obama administration officials, White House officials, on stories you were doing, or that they went over your head and tried to apply some pressure to your bosses?
Both. I mean, they worked through me, and they often went over my head to the bosses. I didn't always know when they did so, but they would sometimes refer to it later, or I would be copied on an email, or bosses would copy me on emails, and they would consistently tell me, even really the last year or so, if I would write an article online, which would be, you know, sort of the fallback position when something couldn't get on television but was still a great story that could be circulated, I'd publish it online. They would even call about those, or they would call about a headline that they didn't like about the online article. And these articles were perfectly defensible, legal, accurate, factual, legitimate, but I feel like we didn't defend them in some cases as strongly as we should have. When they call and bear that kind of pressure, I think it borders on inappropriate if it's a part of a campaign to sort of stop and influence and manipulate the reporting.
CBS, ABC, NBC, standing up for you? No. They're standing up for the Obama administration. They're caving in and not representing you. They're not giving a voice to the people to speak to power. Coming up, we're going to talk Obamacare. And you know what? I think Mr. Obama may have paid a visit. We know how much he likes illicit drugs, but he may have paid a visit to Colorado, because, man, he is high about the statements he just made. He must have been, because of the statements he just made about Obamacare. It's coming up, the Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on The Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
Just picked up a new follower on Twitter. Her name, I believe you pronounce it, is Delana. D-E-L-A-N-A. I love that name. I just noticed it just as we were coming on the air. Cool name. Welcome to the Salcedo Storm, Salcedo Swarm. Make sure you use those hashtags, Delana, to clue the folks in about what you're talking about as you post on @ChrisSalcedoTX. @ChrisSalcedoTX, that's the Twitter handle. Make sure you follow me there. Also the Facebook page, Chris Salcedo Show. It's really easy. Just go to Facebook, type in the search bar, The Chris Salcedo Show, and you will find us. Scrolling down, you're going to see the popular stories today. Of course, the funny stuff is always the most popular. And what's more funny than Harry Reid? We got a comic up there about Harry Reid not knowing the difference between a real terrorist and a Tea Party member. And also, the headline that seems to be screaming across the Salcedo Show page is, indicted businessman names Harry Reid as recipient of massive bribe. Harry Reid, crooked, who knew? Glad you made it back to the Salcedo Show, everybody. Of course, this is the show that is dedicated to making sure that your views are heard and listened to and addressed. We call it the Radio Republic right here on the Salcedo Show. As I mentioned before we went to the break, we know how much of a fondness, because we've read Mr. Obama's biography, his autobiography. He has a fondness for illicit drugs. So he must have been on a few of those when he had this to say about Obamacare this week.
With respect to the Affordable Care Act, my point is that we've been having a political fight about this for 5 years. We need to move on to something else. That's what the American people are interested in.
No, the American people are interested in solving this because your law is causing more problems than it is solving. Mr. Obama, it is not up to you to move on. The American people don't want to move on. The American people are hurting, courtesy of you. As long as your law does damage, we do not move on. That is a problem that needs to be solved. When your law does damage, that is something that needs to be paid attention to, not moved on. And it's not a political fight. It's out of the realm of politics now, Mr. Obama. It is now into real world. I know you don't live there. I know you've not been an occupant of the real world for quite some time now, but that's where the rest of us live. So, no, we're not going to move on until the problem is solved. You are the problem, Mr. Obama, as is your crap sandwich law.
I think the Democrats should forcefully defend and be proud of the fact that millions of people like the woman I just described, who I saw in Pennsylvania yesterday, were helping because of something we did.
Right.
I don't think we should apologize for it.
No.
I don't think we should be defensive about it.
No.
I think there is a strong, good, right story to tell.
Yes, there are good stories. About 15% of the nation benefiting from Obamacare. It's the other 85% who are getting the shaft. I think that's where the problem rests, Mr. Obama. Charles Krauthammer over the Fox News Channel brilliantly calling out this for what it was. Mr. Obama in La La Land.
The president said this thing is working.
Look, it's working in that it exists. It breathes. But if it's hurting the doctor, it's hurting the hospital, it's hurting the patient, it's hurting the economy, it's going to cost a fortune. I love the way the president says health care costs are reduced, as if there is any relationship between a reduction which occurred during a recession and a health care implementation which occurs today. So it couldn't possibly have retroactively affected last year's numbers. I mean, he makes this stuff up with a brazenness that is almost admirable.
A brazenness that is admirable. Leave it to Krauthammer over there at the Fox News Channel to put it quite that way. We will not move on. As long as the American people are harmed by Obamacare and the Democrats who passed it, we will not move on. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for new and interesting ways to examine the impact of Obamacare. I've been talking with doctors. I've been talking with people in the industry, in the healthcare industry, even some in the insurance industry. This one is probably going to surprise a lot of folks out here. I'm going to bring on my next guest. His name is Dr. Rod Rorick. He is a purveyor of NavigateYourBeauty.com. He's the chairman of the Department of Plastic Surgery at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Texas. Dr. Rorick is the co-author of the book, Navigate Your Beauty, Smart and Safe Plastic Surgery Solutions. Doc, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Well, it's good to be on with you, Chris.
What was curious to me is, you know, we've talked about how Obamacare is affecting those with in the general practitioner's realm, you know, the everyday aches and pains, folks who need, surgeries and that kind of thing. What nobody seems to have been focused on is the elective surgery side of this thing. And it's something, frankly, I'm not really aware of the impacts Obamacare is having on the elective surgery side. So give me some feedback. What is it you're noticing so far?
Well, Chris, the whole thing about, the Affordable Health Care Act or the Obamacare is that we really don't know. There's so many unknowns, and that's what, as a physician, that's a real challenge for us. I mean, we don't know certainly that, we didn't address the lack of physicians, the physician shortage in this country, the lack of tort reform in the act, and, of course, the failure to replace the sustainable growth rate, which is key to allowing more physicians to see this expanded group of patients, which we all care about, so they can get better care. So, we're advocates for our patients, but, there's so many unknowns. And an elective surgery, including, anything from getting your pacemaker to having cosmetic surgery, it's just a big unknown. We do know that there is more taxes on those things. The medical devices are taxed
Sure.
now 2.3% more. So that's a challenge for, patients undergoing elective surgery, because most of that is passed on to the physician, or to the patient, rather. So, this book really addresses how people can actually be smart and safe when choosing elective surgery, and in this case, cosmetic surgery. But, the formula is simple. You want to be safe, you want to be smart, and you just have to ask three simple questions.
All right. Well, let's when I said that elective surgery it would have an impact on this side of the equation. I didn't mean to indicate that, you know, when everybody thinks of plastic surgery, you think of somebody getting their nose done or
right.
or a nip and a tuck here. But there's also that side of plastic surgery, let's say for burn victims,
absolutely.
Where what I am afraid of is that Obamacare will come in and say, well, you know what, we're going to cover you surviving, you know, just enough to get you to survive. But as far as plastic surgery is concerned, about making yourself more presentable or maybe correcting some of the damage done by, let's say, a burn or something horrific happening, some malady that strikes you, that Obamacare is going to say, you know, that's not necessary. That's not needed because we need to regulate and we need to, you know, this is the whole death panel conversation. But it also affects those people who want to be made whole again, does it not?
Oh, right. Well, of course. And, you know, most of plastic surgery is, just like you said, Chris, it's, you know, reconstructive surgery. It's to restore to normal, not just to improve on normal. And you know, it is so hard enough today to get insurance coverage for reconstructive surgery, for making people whole again after breast cancer, you know, to restore their breast, to restore their face after burn surgery. And so, if anything, you know, the complexity of this new Health Care Act is going to make things more cumbersome, because
sure.
what's happening is that it's making it more cumbersome for the physicians, the hospitals, to be able to not only afford it, but be able to do it in many of these settings. So the whole healthcare arena is changing so much.
Sure. The name of the book is Navigate Your Beauty, Smart and Safe Plastic Surgery Solutions. Also the purveyor of NavigateYourBeauty.com. My guest is Dr. Rod Rorick. How many years have you been in practice, Doc?
I've been in practice over 25 years in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. So if you were a betting man, if you're from what the changes that you have seen coming down the pike from Obamacare and from what you've been able to glean from what we're told that Obamacare entails, because don't forget, folks, this law is being written by thousands and thousands and thousands of pages every single month by the administration, because a lot of it was left to bureaucrats to write. If you were a betting man, do you think that Obamacare is going to have a positive influence on your practice or a negative influence?
Well, I think as a physician who takes care of a lot of patients and physicians in general, you know, we're very nervous because there's so many unknowns. So, you know, overall, I think many of my colleagues think it's going to potentially have a negative effect on yeah. healthcare, you know, for our patients. But we just don't know. I mean, that's what's so amazing about this Health Care Act is that in medicine, we like to deal with the known. And so when we talk about what's unknown or what's changing every day, that's a little worrisome to us and to our patients.
I'll bet. You know, as I articulated before I brought you on, we've been seeing a lot of doctors saying, you know what, get rid of the insurance companies, get rid of Obamacare. We're going to come together and we're going to provide direct point of service to the people, bypassing all of this stuff and trying to make it affordable. It may be where we're headed, where we have two classes of medicine in the country, one for the government, the other for folks who have more than two pennies to rub together. Dr. Rod Rorick, he is the purveyor of NavigateYourBeauty.com. The book is called Navigate Your Beauty, Smart and Safe Plastic Surgery Solutions. Doc, appreciate your time on a Saturday here on the Salcedo Show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, right. Chris.
Talk to you again. All right. We have a lot to deal with coming up still in the program. I'm going to introduce the topic. Look, foreign policy was really on the front page this week, was it not? With, again, Vladimir Putin rattling the sword and Mr. Obama finding a corner to cower in. We will break down what is happening, what I think is going to happen. We'll hear some sound bites from folks who were in the know and some folks, well, from the Obama administration who couldn't care less, apparently. It's all coming up on the Salcedo Show here on The Blaze.
Telling the truth. It's one of those jobs American liberals won't do. That's why we need the liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show. Listen, dial, speak. 888-900-3393.
The man who's a heartbeat away from the presidency. Joe Biden speaking earlier this week on the anniversary on tax day, the anniversary of the Boston bombing. Did you hear what he said? Oh, man. Good old Joe. It's just, well, for some reason, the computer is just like doing that hourglassing thing. It's trying to decide whether or not it wants to play the soundbite or not. That's just very odd. But yeah, Joe Biden, it's going to click on here any second, folks, while I'm speaking. So I can't let dead air because I'm a broadcast professional. By the way, I'm told that the show is on in the men's room. They're here in the Blaze facility. That's good to know. So I'd like to make a shout out to the guy in stall three. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Hope everything comes out okay. It's not going to play. Joe Biden is not going to play. He was basically having a conversation with some of the survivors and was trying to sound somber, was trying to sound, I don't know, presidential, and basically ended up saying the most inane thing that I think I've ever, you know, and for Joe Biden, that's saying a lot. The most inane thing I've ever heard the man say. I mean, we all know that he is, this is just not going to work. It's just, you can tell I'm killing time trying to get the soundbite thing to play, but it's not happening. Yeah, thank you. Oh, shit. Now rub it in. Joe Biden. Let's see if we can get number two.
Phil and I are honored to be asked back. And, let me say, to those, quote, survivors. My God, you have survived and you have soared. It was worth it.
What? What? So yeah, the terrorist attack that, you know, took out people's limbs and killed people. It was worth it just to see how you all survived. The Vice President of the United States. And oddly enough, I think he'd be an improvement over Obama. No, really, I honestly believe that. Here's President Obama. He has these moments of honesty. And understand, folks, he does this hoping that you will not connect the dots that he's been in charge for the last 5.5 going on 6 years. This is Obama giving us a reality check of what it's like in Obama's America. So I'm going to start and stop. And for those of you out there who are Obama fans or Obama sycophants, I'm going to put what Mr. Obama is saying in perspective for you, because he's relying on the fact that you're not going to assign blame for how crappy things are in the country to him. But I'm not going to let him get away with it. Oh, you know what? I've got to save this because tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to hear from Obama, and then we're going to get that Constitution Revolution coming up here after the top of the hour. So it's going to move from its normal time slot. So I'm going to tease the Constitution Revolution. But here's Obama.
So there are a lot of good trends that are taking place, and a lot of that has to do with the great work that our outstanding vice president is doing.
All right.
It has to do with the great work that folks like Mike and Bob and Rich are doing.
Yeah.
And your outstanding mayor that's in Pittsburgh and all he's doing to help transform the economy there. But here's the challenge, and a lot of folks here know it. A lot of people don't feel that progress in their own lives yet.
In the era of Obama.
So the stock market's doing great.
In the era of Obama.
Corporate profits are soaring.
In the era of Obama.
Folks at the very, very top are doing better than ever.
In the era of Obama.
But too many Americans, if they're lucky enough to have a job, are
in the era of Obama.
Working harder and harder just to get by, much less to get ahead.
So you are a failed occupier of the Oval Office. Because life continues to be crappy under your stewardship of the U.S. economy and our country in general. And there's Obama with another rare moment of honesty for we the people. Coming up, the Constitution Revolution with Chad Kent. Also, a tip of the cap to an NFL football player, a guy named J.J. Watt. You're not going to want to miss this. It's coming up on the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself. to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Batches. I don't have to show you any stinking batches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Glad you made it for hour three, everyone. 888-900-3393 is the phone number. If you're listening right now, probably doing it on theblaze.com/radio. Or maybe on SiriusXM, channel 778. The Blaze Radio smartphone app, always a good way to go. iHeartRadio, too. For on-demand listening, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Not only for convenience sake, but also for passing on the word about this program. Many of you are doing it with greater regularity, and you have my heartfelt thanks for doing that. Sharing this program with your friends and family, and maybe even those with whom you politically disagree. Maybe using something you've heard in this program as some backup. And boy, you need it when you have the occupier of the Oval Office working against you. You need it. Coming up in the program, we're going to have a conversation about something on international affairs. Something you probably haven't heard of, because I was completely clueless about this movement. Something that's going on over in Afghanistan, or Pakistan, I should say. Pakistan, Afghanistan, that region. And it's a new movement that some are comparing to the Iraqi Kurds. And the Iraqi Kurds were good guys, remember? Still are. So we'll talk about that coming up. Also, did you guys catch the word from the Obama administration? The Keystone XL pipeline will not be built. At least they're going to put it off again. Now, a lot of folks are going, oh my goodness, this is the most extremist left-wing president. And what has followed is a cavalcade of Democrats, vulnerable Democrats, coming out and calling President Obama's decision idiotic or something along that line. Understand what this is, folks. This is Mr. Obama basically placating the extremist left wing, which is, you know, what he does. And he's also allowing these vulnerable Democrats who then, once they're back in office, they vote with him anyway. Right. But they get to call him words like ridiculous. They get to come out and cut campaign ads saying, I oppose Barack Obama. You see, Obama's popularity is in the toilet, which is only right. Because he sucks at doing what he does. But right now, he comes out and he makes an unpopular decision, sticks his thumb in the eye of union workers because, you know, he doesn't want to put anybody back to work. He's fighting for an environmental policy that will allow for the more dangerous transport of oil across rail, which, by the way, benefits some of his cronies. But it's more dangerous for the environment because there's a potential of spills and all that kind of thing, like we just had down in Houston a couple of weeks back. So this is Team Obama fighting for more environmental risk. And then all of his clueless environmentalists are clapping, yay, yay. Because the truth of the matter is, folks, these extremist left wingers, they like it when there are massive oil spills, because in their little itty bitty minds, it turns us off to oil. See, it's dangerous. Well, can you help us make it less dangerous by making a pipeline? No, we must continue to transport it by ship to create a bigger footprint, carbon footprint, which is what they tell us they don't want to do. We must do it by rail to create a bigger carbon footprint, which is what they tell us not to do. By truck. So that's when Mr. Obama rejects the Keystone Pipeline. Understand there are so many things going on. He's advocating for less safety in oil transport, so that his environmentalist wackos can get out there and point out every drop and tittle of environmental risk, even though the folks who are responsible want to create jobs and make it more safe, and the leftists can't have that. Because the real goal is to get rid of oil, period, is to get it out of here. So, and then it gives the Democrats the ability to say, oh, we oppose Obama, because, again, Obama's unpopular. His policies are unpopular. Don't let them get away with it, because, you know, if Mary Landrieu and her merry bunch of alleged moderate Democrats do win re-election, they're just going to vote with Obama anyway. They're just going to. So don't let up on the pressure. Don't buy into this hype, because that's all it is. It's hype. It is now time for the Constitution Revolution here on the Chris Salcedo Show. The author of Uncomplicating the Constitution, his name is Chad Kent. He's here with a look at our founding document as it was meant to be. It was meant to be simple. Here's Chad.
It should be common sense that as free people, you and I should have a say in the laws that we live under. That's why, the way our Constitution was designed, everybody involved in the lawmaking process is accountable to the people that they serve. That's also the reason that in Article 1, Section 7, it requires that all bills for raising revenue have to begin in the House of Representatives. The House is the part of the government that is closest to the people, and originating money bills there gives us the greatest amount of power possible to control the funding of the government. And when we can control our government's funding, we can control our government's actions. But over the last 100 years, our politicians have been moving the legislative process further and further away from the people. We allow judges to legislate from the bench, and most of the rules and regulations in this country are now made by executive agencies like the EPA and the HHS. Now, we're told not to worry about all these regulations because Congress still has oversight over the executive agencies, and if they do something that we don't like, well, Congress can just cut their funding. But consider the newly formed Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This agency gets to make the rules that affect your mortgage, your investments, and all kinds of other aspects of your financial life. And the CFPB isn't funded through appropriations from Congress. Instead, it receives a percentage of the profits from the Federal Reserve. That means that the folks at the CFPB are completely unaccountable to you in any realistic way. There is a huge difference between being governed and being ruled. When you have absolutely no say in the laws that affect every aspect of your financial life, are you a citizen who's being governed, or are you a subject who's being ruled? That's the Constitution Revolution, and I am Chad Kent for the Chris Salcedo Show.
Excellent. As always, thank you very much, Mr. Kent. Appreciate that. By the way, Chad, myself, Mary, we're going to get together over the next couple of weeks. First time that we have met face to face. So I will let you know how that meeting of some of the voices here, either in print or as you heard Chad Kent's voice on the air, what comes of that meeting. We're going to have a little bit of a confab and talk about ways to make this program a little more interesting for you, the Chris Salcedo Show listeners. So stay tuned. I did want to get in touch on foreign policy because it was a major theme this week. And well, let's do a review. Here is President Obama's foreign policy in the face of an ever aggressive Russia.
And there is strong evidence suggesting some of these demonstrators were paid and were not local residents.
Now, these demonstrators, Mr. Carney is articulating here, these demonstrators are put up by Russia, paid by Russia, to go into these former Soviet republics and stir up trouble. Into Ukraine, into Estonia, we are hearing reports. Estonia, by the way, a NATO member. We're getting more into that in a minute. But this is the pattern. Send in Russian operatives into these areas, stir up trouble, and when the authorities clamp down on them, then say, oh, ethnic Russians are being oppressed, thus Mother Russia must come in and help. Mother Russia must come in and make sure their liberties are protected. Yeah. So this is the pretense. Of course, it's complete idiocy. Everybody sees through what Vladimir Putin is doing, and really it's a dog and pony show. Really, he just wants land. He wants influence. He wants to restore the Soviet Union to its former greatness. That's his agenda. Really it's not any more complicated than that. But here's Jay Carney.
Saw groups of pro-Russian demonstrators take over government buildings in the eastern cities of Kharkiv, Donetsk, and Luhansk. And there is strong evidence suggesting some of these demonstrators were paid and were not local residents. If Russia moves into eastern Ukraine, either overtly or covertly, this would be a very serious escalation.
A very serious escalation. Thank you, Captain Obvious. This is the White House spokesperson. This would be a serious escalation, as if Crimea wasn't a serious escalation, as in Russian troops massing on the border wasn't a serious escalation. Are these people serious? Are these people serious? Thank you, Jay Carney. Oh, man, this is a serious escalation. Glad you're here to tell us these things, genius. He continued.
We call on President Putin and his government to cease all efforts to destabilize Ukraine.
Or you'll do what? Or what? We call on what? Jen Psaki might tweet off another picture of her saying, "We stand with Ukraine." Is that what's going to happen, Jay Carney? Is that how we're going to deter an aggressive Russia? With tweets? Or with sending more food, maybe, to the Ukrainians? Maybe those MREs will get in the way of tanks and attack helicopters that Vladimir Putin's going to be throwing at the Ukrainians. Perhaps. He continued.
And we caution against further military intervention.
Or you'll do what? Or what? Again, they get up there and they make these statements. Carney makes these statements. You better not. Or what? Nobody in the world believes there will be consequences for Russia. And if they are, they're pinpricks, and they really don't give a rat's because they're continuing. They've annexed Crimea, and they're all loaded to bear right there on the border. And they maybe do more of this adventurism. Why? Because nobody has stood in their way. Because America, under President Obama, has checked out. And they get up there, oh, well, we call on you to stop. Really? Ooh. I'm sure Vladimir Putin is shaking in his boots. Frankly, folks, there's nothing that's going to change Vladimir Putin's calculation. I have more on this. Your phone calls as well. If you want to wait, there are folks out there that are disagreeing with me, saying, Chris, what do you want to do? Get us into another war? No, that's not what I want to do. But remember, Ukraine gave up its nukes because we promised to help them. Should something like this happen? Is our word no good anymore? Is it because we have a feckless community organizer for the occupier of the Oval Office? Does that mean America's word is no good anymore? He's supposed to represent us, right? It doesn't have to go to war. As a matter of fact, like any bully, I think Putin would back down facing America's military, or maybe something akin to that. I have my own suggestions, but maybe you think I'm wrong. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. It's the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network.
He is a liberty-loving Latino conservative. Need we say more? The Chris Salcedo Show, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
Glad you found us, everybody. Reminding America that liberals are funny. Just as long as they're not in charge of anything. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. When liberals are in charge, they're downright dangerous. Brett Hume doing some fantastic analysis on President Obama's light footprint lead from behind foreign policy. And the way this... Yeah, I know he had an interview with Major Garrett, in which Obama said a whole lot of nothing. Basically talked in circles, didn't answer the questions. Gee, par for the course, we've come to know. I don't even want to hear his voice on this matter because he doesn't speak with any credibility. Britt Hume, though, has tons of credibility on this issue. Here is his take over the Fox News Channel, what I call more of Britt's brilliance.
If the turmoil in Ukraine has taught us anything, it is that the 21st century, with its supposedly new norms, looks very much like the previous 20 centuries with their old norms. The world, as ever, is threatened by brutal rulers who subjugate their own peoples and seek opportunities to subjugate others. To be sure, there was a brief shining moment after the collapse of the Soviet Empire, when the world seemed largely at peace and a new order seemed to be emerging. But as America partied and prospered its way through the better part of a decade, Islamic radicals were plotting their hideous attacks, including the one which succeeded on September 11, 2001. The muscular American response to that was successful in preventing further such attacks, but costly in blood and treasure. It was perhaps understandable then that President Obama came to office thinking it was now time for America to step back from its preeminent role in defending freedom, to withdraw from Iraq and Afghanistan, and allow other nations to take the lead in other parts of the world. Mr. Obama even went so far as to make Russia a key player in his policies toward Iran and Syria, among other things. So now the new Russia is acting like the old Russia. The new Europe is proving as weak as the old so often did, and we are left to hope that somehow American policies of downsizing and disengagement will turn out better than they have in the past.
And we know better. They won't. If history is any indication, they won't. And history typically does repeat itself because fools like Obama refuse to learn from it. Let's get out of the phone lines, get to your phone calls. We go first to Alabama. James is there at 888-900-3393. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, you said you think Russia'd back down if America sent troops in?
I didn't say troops.
I disagree with the way our military has been run.
Well, I didn't say troops. I said if we came up with a more robust response, if our military did get involved, and I want our military to get involved, there are things that we could do to change Putin's calculus, because Putin is basically a former KGB thug, and really his military, and I agree with what you're saying, James, our military has been really torn apart by the Obama administration. I get that. But
I mean,
politicians
have been given orders instead of generals, and they don't have the steel reserve to be able to follow through.
I agree. I agree with you. And I'm not advocating landing the 101st Airborne there in Ukraine to pick up a weapon and then act as a deterrent. There are tons of things we could be doing militarily. We can give logistic support. We can give the Ukrainians American weaponry to defend themselves so that Vladimir Putin will go, okay, this isn't going to be as easy as just walking through and annexing Crimea. It's going to be a bit harder. We could give them intelligence. We can give them air support. We can give them tons of, we could put missiles back in the Czech Republic and in Poland, the missiles that we never really followed through in to begin with. It's all designed to make Putin reevaluate. Oh, this isn't going to be as easy as it seems. Because really, he has a very fragile economy and his military is nowhere near the strength of the United States. So we need to make him make another calculation. Okay, look, if I go ahead and dedicate troops, it's not going to be a walk in the park, and I could degrade my forces to where I won't be able to do other things that I want to do. That's what I'm not talking about getting into a full-on military engagement. I don't think we have to, because Russia is that weak.
When Russia comes, I mean, you got to look back, go all the way back to Afghanistan before we ever got involved. It was Russia versus Al-Qaeda.
Well, it was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was much stronger than.
Same people in charge, different clothes on now.
Well, no, I understand that, but the Soviet Union was much stronger back then than modern day Russia is today.
And they couldn't defeat the Taliban back then in Afghanistan. But what are they? They're great chess players. They are masterminds. So what have they been doing the entire time we're over there? They've been watching our strategies fail time after time after time. They finally had an opportunity where they saw them versus an opponent and us versus an opponent that they can compare.
Well, I think the United States had a lot more success when Bush was running things against Afghanistan and the Taliban there than the Soviets did. I mean, the Soviets were mired there for years. And of course, we have been there. That's our longest war as well. But I think the initial surge in, we basically decimated the joint. But I mean, the whole insurgency that's developed, it was allowed to develop in the interim. Yeah, that's a problem. James, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate you, sir. Of course, if you want to get in this conversation, 888-900-3393. That's 888-900-3393. The Blaze and the Chris Salcedo Show. So let's hear from Charles Krauthammer outlining what basically the fallacy of Russian intervention.
Well, if these reports from Estonia are correct, and this is truly alarming. And the reason is, of course, Estonia is a member of NATO. We have an obligation that we have held for 60 years, which has held together NATO and defended the West, that an attack on one is an attack on all. Now, what's happening in Ukraine is a classic, it was a Nazi and then it was a communist tactic of stirring up unrest clearly from the outside, and then having those who stirred up unrest ask for armed intervention.
Yeah, that's the justification that Vladimir Putin is using. We all see through the strategy. But what about what Charles mentioned there? Article 5 of the NATO treaty. If Estonia is next on Vladimir Putin's list, do you think Obama, by the way, Article 5 is an attack on one is attack on all. Do you think President Obama, if Estonia is attacked, because they're a member of NATO, would actually commit American forces to defending Estonia? I don't. 888-900-3393, that's the phone number. Coming up, we'll talk about another hot spot in the world, maybe one that you were not aware of in Pakistan. It's all on the way on the Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
The Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network. We'll be right back. The Chris Salcedo Show.
Happy I made it back, everybody. The telephone number here on The Salcedo Show is 888-900-3393. That's 888-900-3393. Also catch up on Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX. It's my understanding we have a phone call. We do? Are we sure? Because my screen is empty, guys. I'm just saying. Do we have a phone call or not? We do? What's the name? Give me the name. Your screen's empty, too. All right, well, let's just play a surprise. Who is on the phone?
Chris, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt, how are you, sir? What's on your mind today?
I want to let you know I've been listening to you ever since you started.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Glad to have you on there. I appreciate what you're doing. I've got a couple things on my mind. Dirty Harry Reid's constantly on my mind lately.
Mine, too.
This guy says we cannot allow people to break federal law. And what a joke, man. I mean,
well, particularly because his side breaks
left and right.
Yeah, his side breaks federal law with great regularity. That is for sure. As a matter of fact, if it happens to be immigration law, his side gets to break immigration law all day long, right?
Yeah, constantly. I mean, from the president all the way down to Charlie Rangel, they're breaking federal law. and then they got the nerve to call hardworking people terrorists, you know.
But, well, I think Mr. Reid has a hard time recognizing what a real terrorist looks like. Nobody's ever accused Democrats of wanting to stand up for America or, you know, target our enemies abroad. And Mr. Reid is just suffering from liberal dementia that thinks that those who oppose him are terrorists and those who want to blow up Americans aren't. I can't get into his mind. It's a scary place.
Right. Well, one thing that's been on my mind is, the Tea Party, you know. Their rhetoric makes it sound like the Tea Party's losing favor and all that, and I don't believe that for a bit, you know. I think we're gaining strength, actually. More people every day are looking for an alternative other than the Democrats and those rhino Republicans that we have. Latino, and you're a conservative, and you're speaking out. There's another group in Colorado called the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. Have you heard of them?
I have not heard of them, but these groups are starting to spring up with greater regularity. Folks who are finally starting to wake up saying, man alive, look at what the liberal progressives are doing to America, and I'm not on board. You know what? In one way, Matt, the occupation of the Oval Office by President Obama has served to illustrate one thing to a lot of folks who have traditionally been either part of the Democrat Party or have considered themselves liberals. They've looked at what he is doing and saying, man, this is just not right. And they're starting to speak out. And I think that's one positive blowback out of very few positives from President Obama's occupation of the Oval Office.
I wanted to let you know about the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. You know, I have them on my Facebook, and one of the main guys that runs that, his name is Derek. And you ought to check him out. You know, see if you can talk to him sometime. He's a very intelligent guy, you know, and he might be somebody that could get in the radio or something like that. But my biggest point is that, you know, we have 50 states, and if we got all the leaders of the Tea Party, the conservative, libertarian groups together, at least maybe a couple representatives from each state, maybe we can actually bring together some concise coalition, you know.
Well, Matt, you know,
libertarians, you know.
Yeah, you know, the show has been on this convention of the states push. I think there are two states that have already voted for it already, and there are several other states with petitions inside of them, basically taking the power out of the hands of those in Washington who have abused us, who have abused that power, and basically the people's representatives, the representatives closer to we, the people here in the states, could actually convene a convention and get control of our out-of-control federal government. We're very much watching that as it progresses. Matt, don't be a stranger here to the Salcedo Show. I appreciate your phone call. I wanted to get some more of these sound bites in because we're having a hard time connecting with our guest here. So it's going to give us an opportunity to hear some more evaluation from the greats over there at the Fox News Channel, Krauthammer and George Will and such. George Will, commenting on this whole Article 5, this NATO treaty that we have, an attack on one is attacked by all.
Charles mentions NATO. I think Putin's aim,
to be really historic is to do end the alliance that did end the Soviet Union, and that is NATO. And he can do that by calling our bluff, because I think he would find that we are bluffing in applying Article 5. This crisis began with Secretary of State Kerry saying, nothing we are saying should be seen as a threat to Putin. Well, if you're not threatening a bad guy who's doing bad things, what are you doing? Today, or maybe it was yesterday, one loses track, Mr. Carney said, we are actively evaluating. That's a distinct from passively evaluating. Now, the meals ready to eat that we sent, we were careful not to send in military planes because we thought that would be provocative. They were sent in commercial trucks. This, you know, some presidents take their foreign policy from the idealism of Woodrow Wilson, some from the realism of Henry Kissinger. This is foreign policy from Monty Python.
Said in only the way that George Will can. Excellent. Nobody takes the Obama administration's foreign policy seriously anymore, least of all our allies and our adversaries around the world. Krauthammer outlining basically over there on the Fox News channel what the world looks like absent American leadership.
The Russians are clearly setting the premise for an invasion. They may not have to do it because Ukraine could buckle under the pressure. And it's already conceded it's ready for a referendum, which would essentially decentralize and dismantle the country. So Putin can win at a distance, but if he doesn't, he will win hand to hand. And what he understands is he has nothing to fear from the United States. The fact that Carney went on in the press conference to say they're not even considering lethal assistance, the Ukrainians are utterly helpless. We are doing nothing. The Europeans aren't even allowing us to do anything important economically. What we are doing is holding the coat of the little guy in a fight who is essentially unarmed.
And you're not hearing much about it from the mainstream press, but were you aware that one of our warships was buzzed by a Russian fighter? Did you know that? And what was our response? Nothing. We gave a phone call saying, that's naughty. That's naughty. You ought not be doing that. But that's about it. Here's Krauthammer talking about
what
that.
What it is, it's a show of contempt. And not just as a personal show of contempt of Putin for Obama, the community organizer. It's wanting to show the region that the United States is so helpless and passive and comical in its response that even an insult to its own, even a sort of supposed threat to its own warship in international waters in the Black Sea goes unresponded to except for a statement of saying that this is extremely unhelpful.
Unhelpful, that's an understatement. That's an understatement of a statement. Now, it has been asked of me several times, you know, if it was President Salcedo, what would you do? And I have already articulated some of those things. I would immediately, with our NATO allies, go into exercises, start doing basically building up our military presence inside of NATO, military exercises all over the place, so that everybody around the world could see them. I'd put those missiles back in, the defensive missiles back in, to Poland and the Czech Republic. Because again, the administration's not doing these things because they don't want to provoke the Russians. That is their stated goal. They want to de-escalate things, not escalate things. But can it get any more escalated? I mean, Putin's already taken over part of Ukraine. He's already massing his military, and you're talking about de-escalation? It's the proverbial knife to the gunfight, folks. That's the Obama administration's response. Some other things I would do. I would immediately give advanced American weaponry to the Ukrainians to use, to hopefully make Putin believe that maybe it's not going to be a cakewalk if he wants to take the rest of Ukraine. I would provide them with logistical support. Only logistical support that Americans can provide. Not boots on the ground. Maybe even some air support. Maybe get our fighters involved, or maybe some of our stealth technology involved, because the Russians can't touch it. I would also come up with a robust energy policy in this country designed to undermine the Russians' sole strength in their economy, which is their energy exports. If America decided to use our resources at our disposal instead of being held hostage by left-wing extremists, then we would be able to provide all of our friends and allies in Europe with reliable energy, and they wouldn't rely on Vladimir Putin anymore, and we would drop the market out from underneath Russia, and they would go bankrupt, and they wouldn't have the money. to do this little adventurism they're doing right now with their military. They'd have to pull back. That's what President Salcedo would do. What about President Krauthammer?
The answer is what is so obvious. You immediately fly in major supplies of light weaponry and defensive weaponry, any tank, any aircraft. So you begin to arm the Ukrainians. So when Putin makes a calculation, he understands there will never be any NATO troops in Ukraine to oppose him. But now he has to think that there is unrest and there is some resistance in the East. It will be armed resistance. That is so obvious, it's almost unspeakably obvious. And the second is to reassure the neighbors. And you don't do it with a trip here and there by a Biden or a Secretary of Defense. What you do is you forward deploy NATO troops into places like the Baltics or into Poland. We had an understanding at the end of the Cold War we wouldn't do that because that would provoke the Russians. The response is to say, you broke the understanding of the end of the Cold War, and now we're going to have NATO troops on your frontier. That's a way to send a message that means something and is not just hot air.
Mm-hmm. And that's all we're spewing right now. Hot air coming from the Obama White House. You better not do it anymore. And then Jen Psaki tweeting out a little picture saying, we stand with Ukraine. Yeah, right behind them. What did Krauthammer say? We're going to hold their coat while they get their clocks cleaned, while the little guy gets beat up by the big bad Russians. How we have descended in the era of Obama in stature and in our ideals that we value, standing up for our friends. We made a deal with the Ukrainians. You get rid of your nukes, we'll be there for you. Obama has made us all liars. Back in a minute. It's the Salcedo Show.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. Join the swarm.
Twitter hashtag Salcedo Swarm.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network. Listening to the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
I'm JJ Watt. This is my buddy Trey. And all those of you who don't believe that Trey's my friend, believe this touchdown.
And the throw is up.
Woo!
And it's good. That is JJ Watt from the Houston Texans. He is a monster of an outside linebacker. And apparently, you can see the story on the Blaze, by the way. The title is, The kids at his school didn't believe he was friends with J.J. Watt, so the NFL star did something awesome. What he did was he made a video and posted it on Facebook with this young man, and his name is Trey, and a special young man. If you jump onto the Facebook page, you'll find it there on my Chris Salcedo Show Facebook page. You'll also find it on the Blaze. But on this holy weekend of Easter, God bless you, J.J. Watt, for taking the time to do this for this little man. Good for you. All of his friends now believe that he's got a pal in J.J. Watt. Some things I didn't get to in the course of the program that I think you ought to know. Fox News polling showing that there are... How many people do you think out there believe that President Obama tells us the truth, never lies? Only 15% of the nation believe that Mr. Obama is 100% truthful with us. The rest of America believe he's a liar. And he is. He's a proven liar. Aren't you, Barack Obama? That's correct. But the polling now shows it. Also from the folks over at the Wall Street Journal writing about a regulator without peer. President Obama in his terms in office, get this, the Federal Register finished 2013 at 79,311 pages. That is the fourth highest total in history. That didn't match President Obama's 2010 all-time high of 81,405. But Mr. Obama can console himself by noting that of the five highest Federal Register page counts, he has four of the last five. Bush had one of the highest counts. This is regulations. These are regulations put in place by non-elected bureaucrats, courtesy of President Obama and his government. I mentioned earlier in the program about this whole census deal. Basically, what's going on with this, Daily Caller was reporting, is the census is changing how it calculates the people who don't have health insurance, the questions they ask. It's not the same as it used to be, because they're saying, yeah, it was overinflated before. Yeah, those are the same numbers that were used to justify Obamacare in the first place. Now that Obamacare's in place, we won't have an apples-to-apples comparison to go off of anymore. So not only is the house of cards falling, President Obama and his administration now are trying to make sure that they can hide the collapse of the house of cards from you by using bogus numbers. Again, we have no apples-to-apples comparison thanks to the executive branch's takeover of the United States Census. That's why it all matters, folks. That's it for the Salcedo Show. I want to remind you, a society's worth isn't measured by how much power is seized by its government, but rather how much power is reserved for its people. We'll see you back here next week.
The Chris Salcedo Show
on the Blaze Radio Network.